Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
So whenever. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to The Screw with Felicia Rose and Ayla.
What's up, Screws? I don't know.
Screws?
Yeah, I keep trying.
Oh, is that the name of our fans?
Yeah, I didn't like the screwball thing. Like most of them I haven't liked, but like I like Screws. Like our Screws, like the little minions of Screws.
Can we call them loose Screws?
Oh, just the slutty ones.
Hey, man, sluttiness does not equate to looseness, okay?
It does in my case.
Oh, when we're talking about butts.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, the elasticity of an ass is not as durable as the elasticity of a pussy. But, I mean, it's still pretty durable if you, like, do it right.
Well, if you wear a butt plug for 8 to 12 hours a day.
Oh, God, I know.
Just kidding. Disgusting. Don't do that.
Terrible. Don't do it.
Listen to last week, okay?
We're like, wait, don't do it. So I had my first wrestling show yesterday.
Yeah!
In a long time. Not my first.
How'd it go? You threw a punch or something, right?
I did not, actually. Oh. I didn't. Instead, I chased the other manager around the wrestling ring with a chair in hand. Basically,
you've done a chair thing before, right? Where you've like break a chair over someone?
No, I broke a guitar on somebody's back.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't. So, like, we wanted to get the crowd a little bit hotter. They were definitely like a little like Thursday night tired or whatever. So
but it's Thursday, Thursday.
We started to bring some of the action into the audience. So
ooh.
I chased the other manager with a chair and we did like a fun little thing and all the kids were like up screaming about it because, you know, he was the bad guy. I was the good guy for once.
You were a good guy.
And so everybody was like cheering me after I chased him out of the room and beat his ass.
Oh, that's amazing.
Quote unquote. Yeah, it was fun. I had a good time. It was like the first. When was the last show I worked? I think like August last year, July. And I don't normally have like large gaps like that, but I just like haven't really been wanting to do anything. And I had gained so much weight and I just went for me with my body dysmorphia or dysphoria, whatever the fucking word. I think it's dysmorphia. I always like forget between the two which one is which. But anyways, with the way that like my brain works, it's almost like as soon as like I don't realize that I've gained the weight, and then as soon as I realize it, I just feel unworthy of right. being in public spaces, and that's so silly and silly, but it's also just how my brain works. And I had gained so much weight that I didn't feel like myself anymore. Like it didn't feel like I felt like if I showed up anywhere, it just wasn't. I don't know. I was misrepresenting myself or something. I don't know. So I gave myself a goal of losing some weight. And then I was asked to work this show. And I was asked by somebody that I love dearly, who I carpooled to shows with them. And she's awesome. Her wrestling name is Megan Mason. And, you know, we never worked together before. But when she asked for me to work with her, I was like, well, first of all, this is my first opportunity to work with another woman one-on-one. I've managed women before. I managed like Jordan Blade, for example, but it was in a tag team situation where I was still also managing men. So this was my first woman to woman managing experience. Oh, yeah. And I was like, as much as it's different because the type of wrestling that was going on was more of, you know, like a mixed fighting.
Okay.
Like, you know, like UFC kind of style.
Oh, really?
And wrestling. So it was like punching and it wasn't just, so I wasn't actually like a manager. I was what they call a cut man. and I was a, you know, the corner man. So what that means is like in between the round, like there's rounds.
So kind of like boxing a little bit.
Yeah, it's like it's like a mixture of that style fighting and wrestling.
Okay.
So like there's rounds, and in between the rounds, I go in and make sure my wrestler is like all set and, you know, doesn't, you know, put ice on their face if they need it, give them water, give them a pep talk, that thing. So it was definitely like a different experience, but it was also super fun. And I never got to do that. Like I never got to just work with a woman one-on-one. So I was like, absolutely.
That's awesome. And
it was a great time. I got to see a bunch of my friends I haven't seen in a while. The locker room, like the woman's locker room, was immaculate vibes, just impeccable. I felt very welcomed. I've had experiences in the past where I don't feel welcome, right? And so it just felt nice. It felt good. Everybody was, it was, you know, good camaraderie. Nice. on my end, at least. So
camaraderie?
Yeah, camaraderie. Hot. And then I got to see, I'm working another show coming up in April. We're already in April. Yeah. In a few weeks with Mike Skyros, working a show in Rochester with him, and I've managed him before.
Oh, nice.
So,
oh yeah, there,
that sounds familiar. We cut a promo together, which was good. It was just like a good, it was a good time. I felt like I accomplished what I needed to accomplish. I got work done.
That's
and
awesome.
A fan had a sign for me.
Oh,
and I love when Sign Girl gets a sign.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
What did it say?
Said just friends, Felicia. You know, because like my signs are always like filthy, and he was just like just friends, Felicia.
Oh, that's so great.
Like, face fuck me, Felicia. You
know? Yeah, so, I mean that works too. Face fuck me, Felicia. That would be so interesting.
Yeah, it was good. I got to meet him and give him a big hug, and he gave me the sign to keep, which was cute. And
that's awesome.
And yeah, it was good. And like my favorite, which is, people are going to be like, what, really? My favorite is when I work these family friendly shows, and you know, I'm fully, especially last night, I'm a cut man. I'm in sweatpants and a fucking, you know, track jacket. Like nice. That was the vibe. Right?
Nice.
And which I love. Like that's so fun. Last year I got to work a show with Vinnie Massaro where I wore a tracksuit. Like I kind of fucking love it.
That's so cool.
And my favorite is like, you know, I'm working these, like the specifically family friendly show, as opposed to like the very 18 plus queer shows I worked last year.
I think I've only seen you at a family friendly show.
You did. Yeah. But this one was like so many kids, and they all afterwards were like, you were my favorite part.
And
high fiving me. And can I take a picture?
You that's know, like so all cool. These
things. And I love that because I love, like, the proof is in the pudding, right? Mm-hmm. That you can be the person that I am. You can have a sex podcast and be a sex worker and have your little filthy persona online, right? And then you can also still be a strong, badass, powerful woman in front of children, for
hell
example.
Yeah.
And they don't know the difference. These people are, these 6-year-olds are not Googling me. They don't fucking know right. what I do, and they don't right. need to know. It's none of their fucking business, right?
Yeah.
All they see is there's this powerful lady in front of me that is beating up the boys, right? I chased him around the ring, right? Like through the audience. Like, this guy's scared of her. I want to be strong and badass enough for a man to be scared of me. Like, I like that. I love that.
Yeah.
I can do that and provide that imagery.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, the wrestlers in the ring are also doing that, showing, like, you can be, you know, strong and
badass. Is it co-ed wrestling or?
It would be considered intergender, and no, there was no intergender matches. So that was the other thing. Is gotcha. Like now, like yeah, like there's this is, you know, man versus woman, and the woman comes out on top in this one piece of the
that's
show.
That's awesome.
You know? So it was. I like that stuff. I like, you know, I can't even. There's been times where people come to me at shows like 4 or 5 years later, and they're like, "I saw you originally when I was like 15 years old." At a show, and I thought you were so cool and strong and badass, and now I'm seeing you again, like as an adult, and I'm seeing that like you know, I like now I'm seeing the other layers of you, and like that's really badass too. And I'm that's like, amazing. You know, it's weird that like you were 15, see me now you're 20, and you're like, I'm meeting you as an adult.
I know,
but it's also cool. It's like I like that. I you know, there's plenty of people that can be strong, positive role models for children that also have these, you know, dual lives. It does not, you are not a bad person because you have an adult life outside of whatever interaction.
No,
having,
yeah.
You know, with the youth.
So. I feel like we're in such a different world than when you first started, you know, just in terms of like how many people I've had, you know, like welcome to like the growing level of poverty in the U.S. Like that, like you wouldn't have anybody to do anything these days if you like banned people with OnlyFans.
Exactly. And every time a teacher gets ousted as having one, they just get 80 times more famous. They're like, oh, you're gonna fire me for my $40,000 a year job? Cool, because I just made $300,000.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you. So does a promotion do adult shows, or does it just do like younger shows?
No, this specific promotion just does family friendly.
Okay, that's cool. Right on. I was like, my partner and I still like comment on your show because we were sitting behind this couple that every time, like, I don't know, like, I think maybe that show there were a couple newer people wrestling or doing whatever, but like, you know, they kept yelling out when there was like awkward moments, figure it out, figure it out. And so we use that line all the time. like when like somebody is like in front of us, like, I mean, we like make the joke like constantly, or when we see something that is just like, what is going on? Figure it out, figure it out. That's my favorite. But speaking of what you just commented, so like I follow this like, kind of, I don't know if it's a new trend or what it is, but it's like essentially all of these teachers that have turned into comedians, and they're fucking hilarious. And these are like elementary school teachers, right?
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't think they do it anymore. I think one of them does, and she's this really funny lady. Oh, I gotta remember her name. But the jokes, because it's like adult humor. Like, you know, she's thought, like, you know, say like, and this little, she's like, you know, how I got ready, used to heckling? I taught third grade. Those bitches heckle way fucking better than you guys can heckle.
Crazy harsh.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's this cute little, like, this queer man. Is it Joe Dombowski? I think that's his name. I'm shouting him out because, like, I watched his live stream for, like, a few minutes yesterday on the shitter. Because that's the only time I have time to watch anything. And he's so fucking, he's, like, a queer dude. And, like, his jokes are fucking hilarious. And I think he used to teach kindergarten. He's full-time comedians now, but his jokes from teaching, because, you know, like, there's a lot of controversy with queer people teaching kids, right? And he just addresses it head on, and like his jokes are like so on fucking point. You know, it'll be like, oh, you have a problem with this, like, here's 5 million other examples of what you let your kids be exposed to that are so much fucking worse.
Oh my god, I know. It's just The fake moral outrage is
absolutely
punchline in general. You know, it's like people will literally be like, don't do that in front of my fucking piece of shit kid. You know,
exactly.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Well, and one of the things he does, like, he's very like Instagram funny too. He does like, you know, these reels of like, he'll show these like often crazy conservative women doing things like having these meltdowns about various things, and he does these kind of funny reaction skits to them. They're hilarious. I gotta send you his profile. He is like one of the funniest people I've come across in a long time. But like, fuck that, you know, they're making more money doing like stand up, which we know doesn't pay like a fucking fortune,
right?
You know,
right.
But
you
like, holy shit,
money at all.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, and like,
it's funny. I have a friend from high school, like, you know, from back in Worcester, who I don't know if you've ever come across him. It's Jimmy Cash, janitor with stamina. He is a janitor at my old elementary school, which I'm not going to out the elementary school, but he literally got TikTok famous being fucking hilarious about being a janitor And now he's still a janitor, but he does stand up and like he's getting famous. He's like in commercials for like the Red Sox and shit. And I'm so it's funny that you say that. Like, I think working in and around children can make you far more hilarious than if you work with like adults, because if you go to kids are truly unfiltered.
They're fucking funny. Are fucking funny.
It's like, where do you come up with this stuff? And sometimes it's just because they are not jaded pieces of shit yet. Exactly. You know, like they are truly like, you know,
you're getting like real time for like, you know, we see all these reaction videos, like I was just talking to it, but like kids are like,
their entire experience for the first 11 years at least is like reaction video.
I love walking by kids who have never walked by a really tall person before. Yeah. Like they'll walk by me and start falling backwards sometimes because they're walking and they're trying to look up at me, and I see like a parent grab them by like the back of their shirt. It's like, don't stare, honey. I'm like, no, I mean, like, I'm ginormous, I get it, like, because trust me, I'm looking at them and they look like I could step on them.
I used to have that experience with tattoos especially, but it's not
the same anymore.
No, because everybody has tattoos, so it's like, it's not that weird. But yeah, when I was 18-19 and, you know, a little kid would see like my calf all sleeved up and they're just like, what's that, you know? And like that, it's just like, so it's so fun to watch children experience something new, you know, because their reactions are so, I don't know,
that's well goofy. and we lose that so quick these days because, you know, these parents shove a fucking screen in front of their face and like they tap out. So
yeah,
you know,
I don't know what it's like to be a parent. I can't even fucking fathom, especially like those first 4 or 5 years. It just seems like the most daunting thing on earth. So I'm not going to sit here and judge, but I also understand that there is a huge advantage to experiencing the world around you instead of through a screen.
Totally. And look, again, because you know, I talk shit, but I will say it is really difficult to be a parent under capitalism, right? You know, and this is my weekly spot of Bill Maher hates you. So like, oh, no, because
I'm barring you from marring. No,
well, here's the reality. And this is my problem with Bill Maher. I'll just encapsulate it for you. Bill Maher is only speaking to middle class and wealthy people. If you don't understand why parents can't monitor their children more, it's because you make too much fucking money. That's why you can't understand. You don't know what it's like to have two working parents in the house where, yes, screens and televisions and strangers are raising your children. What else are you supposed to do? Feed them, keep a roof over their head, or monitor their screen time? Fuck you. Yeah. It's like, obviously, I think these things are horrible, but I can't blame the fucking parents. I'm sorry. It's not real. We don't live in a situation where one parent can make enough to support a family of four anymore. And everybody knows that. So don't talk as if it's a big fucking mystery why the world is the way it is. It's the way it is because those that experience more privilege are experiencing more and more of it. You know, there were 152 billionaires made last year, including Taylor Smith or Swift. Smith. I said Smith. Fuck,
whatever. Taylor Smith.
Taylor Smith. I'm sure you one of them was artists. Named Taylor Smith.
Taylor Smith, billionaire.
Oh, no, but it's the wrong conversation to be happening. You know, it's like, oh, we don't understand. You know, when like, it's like, you know, all these young people do is like complain about shit. Like, you know, da 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 da. Motherfucker, where is your context? There's no context to this. You know, this whole thing, like, well, you know, it's actually a good thing if we start banning social media for young people. Okay, fine. But keep in mind, some people are taking this to extremes and want to like ban certain types of content. And like, when do you plan on banning? Like, how do you plan on enforcing this to a generation of kids that don't have anybody watching them? Right. You know, like,
that's a very good point.
Don't be stupid. Like, what you need to do is be, like, get better at protecting them while they're on these things, is what you need to do. You know, where like everybody is taking this like new thing, like, okay, well, if we're putting these bans about who the viewers are in place, then we don't have to monitor the content as much. Or if we put these kind of safety controls, it's up to you to make sure you don't see, I'll just say child porn on your fucking phone, because Instagram is fucking flooded with it. Like, the fact that I can like look through reels and see something wildly inappropriate things these days, like, y'all need to do better.
Yeah, there's been, I guess somebody tweeted the other day that there's like a bunch of bots now on Twitter doing the same shit. And I'm just like, this is, I'm so fucking happy that I have not actually like scrolled past anything except for the conversations about it, but like, holy shit, like I think I don't even want to be on
I know anymore. it's so impossible.
If I didn't have to work, I would just not even fucking want to be on it. Oh Aaron, you're a little too close to the mic, or the gain is up too much. It's like crispy when you get loud.
I got you.
So yeah, just maybe like back up an inch or I didn't want to interrupt your thought process there, but I'm like, wait, well, I have the mic.
No, you're right. It is.
Well, no, I'm sure you can't tell, but I could tell in my headphones. So.
Yeah, I'm hearing a little too much of my mouth noise.
It's just, it was like crispy when you got loud. I don't know what the word is.
Crispy. It's crispy cream when you get. You know, like, look, it's what I've always said about technology. It could be a great, wonderful force in like modernism for society if people weren't controlling it for money. And like, the reality is that's, they do everything now that they're all public companies. Everything is like based on how many users do you have on the platform, you know, so it's a numbers game, and they don't care how many users. They want to be able to tell their, or they don't care what quality of users on their platform. They want to be able to tell their investors that we raised our number by 5 million like users. They're all pedophiles, but like, whatever, like, your stock will go up. You know, like, it's really sad and unfortunate like that's the reality of technology.
Disgusting.
But
so we had a crazy earthquake this morning here,
right? Tell me.
You know, it was like 4.8, which according to Californians isn't a big deal. And like, I'm going to get over it. But also like, ew, can you even drive in the rain? No, shut the fuck up. And no, I'm not talking about Northern California where there's like snow. I'm talking about like all of Southern California that's tweeting right now. Like, oh my God, it's like not even a big deal. I'm sorry. Do you live in a New York City building that was, you know, built pre fucking
war
1920, like, totes. Get out of here. Our building feels like it's gonna collapse when a truck drives by. Never mind when there's a fucking earthquake hilarious. And you're on the fourth floor. I literally was like, my building is collapsing as I speak.
Yeah,
it's collapsing. This is it for me. My bed was like moving across the floor. It was crazy.
Well, and the Californians, like, for real. And like, I lived in California for a few years. I definitely. Well, that wasn't,
listen, I'm not trying to fight with California.
Oh, no, I know.
I get it. I understand because, you know, have I tweeted out before, like, oh my God, you guys got like an inch of snow. What's wrong
with you?
I mean, maybe I haven't. Maybe I was on the other side of the tweet and I said, like, don't make fun of them. It's scary. I don't know. I don't know how rotten I've been in my Twitch past. But I will say, shut up. Of course we're going to have a reaction to it. Like, of course. It was, listen, the last earthquake I felt, I was in the 10th floor of a Manhattan building. And everybody in that building that had experienced 9/11 in fucking Manhattan,
sure,
you better believe they all goddamn jumped under their fucking tables or ran to the stairwell to go down the fucking you know, fire exit.
Right.
They literally, everybody was freaking out. So, like, let's not make fun of each other. We all have different experiences with different things.
Okay, so let's contextualize it. You know? Let's contextualize it. Like, in the East Coast, you feel an earthquake sometimes not in your lifetime. I mean, like, there was one in Massachusetts when I was, like, 14, and everybody was like, oh, my God, it was like the apocalypse or something. I was like, actually, it's an earthquake. And if you've never experienced one, you really don't know what the fuck is happening. The world shaking around you for 20 seconds, I think they said it was about 20 seconds that it lasted, is like, it's inconceivable. It feels unreal.
I was in South Carolina for that major storm that happened.
I remember that.
The summer of last year. And I built myself a tornado shelter because there's no basements there. I was like right by the ocean, like not even a half a mile away from the ocean. There's no basements there. The buildings are on stilts. Okay. Yeah. So my ass is building. There was a tornado warning and it was like in the air, you know, like it was very much in the area. And so I built myself a tornado shelter in the stand-up shower. Like I, you know, I had everything. I prepared myself for this fucking tornado. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, and then I like worked, of course, because that's what I do is like, oh, a tornado coming. I still have to work. But I like stayed inside and like I had somebody.
A titty tornado is coming.
Exactly. Tornado's coming. I had somebody like watching the news to make sure that my county wasn't getting hit with a tornado. They were going to call me. If so, you know, like I had a whole thing. I had a plan in place. Okay.
Nice.
I also had like my ice box filled with.
You
like,
had an
alcohol.
Ejaculation plan.
Yes. I had my ice box filled with alcohol and food and like perishable. Like I was ready to go. Okay.
Nice.
Everything kind of not, it doesn't get better, but like the tornado warning had passed. I head down to the bar that's on site of the place that I was staying. It was a party. It was a hurricane party.
Oh,
everybody had been there all day. Nobody cared about the tornado warning. Oh, by the way, look up on the news. There was a tornado a mile away. And these motherfuckers were at the goddamn bar. So, yeah, like, my point is everybody's experience has to do with, like, how close they are or have been to that same experience.
Totes.
I have been through, I think, 3 tornado warnings in my life. There was a microburst down the street from my house when I was younger. There was, like, a small baby tornado hit my friend's yard. And there was one other tornado. Like,
do you remember when those tornadoes came through?
Somebody in fucking, you know, Kansas is probably like, oh, is it, what category storm is it? Oh, we're not worried until the funnel is heading our way. You know what I mean? Like, there's a complete, whereas me is like, a tornado warning, I'm out of here, you know? Like, there's a difference. There's, and it's, your experience shapes your reaction.
Totally.
No, but that was a really long, high-winded way of saying your experiences shape your reaction to things. And don't be mean. And, like, we can all make fun of each other, but, like, don't be cruel about it. People are straight up, making people feel bad for having a reaction.
No, just remember the first time you felt an earthquake. I mean, it is. I mean, it's cray-cray. It's like, I remember the first earthquake in California that we ever went through. I mean, we knew because, you know, when you move to California, everybody makes you like kind of hyper conscious about them, you know, because it's like one of the quirks when you say you're from the, oh, so you've never been through an earthquake. It's like, no. And so like one of them, the first one that we went through, it was really weird, you know, because everything kind of shakes and you're like, is it? Oh, it is. Okay. And like, by the time it's over, you haven't done anything that they tell you to do. Like, you're like, wait, what was it? Oh, find an archway? Okay. You know, like, you know.
I thought there was an animal under my bed.
Right.
I literally was like, well, because it's, I've been through one earthquake before. Yeah. It was so much smaller and it was so much shorter. Yeah. This went on for long enough for me to have a conversation in my head. Like the other earthquake I went through was like boom, 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 boom. Like that's all I felt. This one was like 3 minutes long. So crazy. I had 3 minutes. That's a long time when you're in a shocking situation.
Yeah.
I had 3 minutes to process or to try to process what is happening
exactly
while I'm laying down in bed.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like something is exploding underneath me, like a boiler of something. There's an animal under my bed.
Yeah. Wow. It's my interesting.
My building is collapsing because my building has all these like fault line, like whatever they're called, it's like cracks that through the foundation cracks.
Cracks in your foundation, not metaphorically.
I'm on a major road, so like a truck could have slammed into the front of the place. Totally. Like, you don't fucking know. So I had this whole conversation in my head before I stood up, left the bed, and then it dawned on me that it could potentially be an earthquake. That's how few earthquakes happen around here, you know? So like, crazy. Put it that way, like, or whereas in California, a 4.8, Californians would just keep walking,
right? Yeah, if they would even feel it. Exactly.
They wouldn't even notice it. They'd be like, oh, did something
it's so weird. My second earthquake, I was in a swimming pool at my apartment complex. And these things I do miss about California. We had like 3 pools at this like cheap ass apartment complex, but they still had 3 pools. It was amazing. But like we were in the pool. We didn't really feel anything because you're in water. So it's like a weird displacement. But I looked up and the concrete like at the end of the pool had cracked up. They had actually lifted. Right. And apparently there was a crack in the pool as well. But like, you know, I couldn't see it. So they had to like maintenance and fix everything. But like, what the fuck, man?
See, like, that's crazy to me. Like that.
Yeah. And that was only like a 6 or something, you know, like
only. That's what I mean. Like, it scares me because if we're going to have frequent earthquakes in New York, my building is going to collapse.
Well, you know, it's really fucked up because, like, obviously that horrible Taiwan earthquake, and that was like 7 point something, just happened. And I was like, oh, but New York isn't on the Ring of Fire. These things are not the same tectonic plates. They have nothing to do with each other, right?
Right. Right.
And like, but like, what the fuck? It's kind of weirdly close to like the Taiwan earthquake, you know?
Listen, I don't even want to know like what is coming for the future when it comes to this stuff. Like, it's gonna get bad. New York City is gonna be underwater. I know I sound like I'm losing my mind.
Oh,
right now,
but no, like, but you're not. You have to go west. Like, you have to go west, young lady, and not like West Coast in the middle of the country, like west. That's my daily pitch.
I love
we don't have hurricanes.
That you always include a pitch for me to move out to New Mexico.
Of course.
It's so fun.
You would have like, so much fun out here. I'm telling you.
Have a place in both places.
It's like the Wild West. There was a shootout on Central Ave the other night.
Listen, I don't want to leave. That was breakfast for me in Brooklyn. Get out of here.
That was like, breakfast. Please.
But like, I don't want to leave New York ever.
No.
I also don't want to be here forever. It's weird. I don't.
No.
Sucks because I wish I had the money to own anything. Never mind one thing. But I do wish I had the money to, you know, keep a place, for example, like even absolutely. If it was just like continuing to rent a little apartment in Brooklyn and then because I can do my job from anywhere, and then I would just like keep it. I wouldn't even sublet it because that creeps me out. I would just keep my apartment in Brooklyn and then go live other places, like
absolutely
New Mexico,
that is the future. That's hopefully ahead for, because you know me, I'm not gonna like live in one place. I have never lived in one place my entire life.
That's true.
But
that's a good point.
I do want to like have, you know, a nice little home base. And look, I'll be honest, it's more likely that one is going to own something here than other places because it's still cheap here. And it's still, I mean, it's getting more expensive. I mean, the whole Denver craze. No,
I love
craze,
it there.
You know,
think it's, and I think it's smart. I think it's a
very
good investment for an up and coming place.
And it's a very progressive politic. You know, New Mexico keeps making New Mexico is makes all these lists for like great LGBT places to live, and like, you know, there's a huge vibrant trans population here, and like there's all sorts of great things about here. But what I love the most is it's actually still very impressionable. It's very malleable. Like, ideas are still happening here. Development is still happening. The population for the entire state is like 3 million or something crazy like that.
That's so weird. That's like on my block.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, you know, like Albuquerque proper is like 600,000, right? You know, when you expand out into the metro region, it's more. But, like, I think about that. Like, Jackson Heights had, like, 200,000 people living in, like, two-mile-square radius. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, obviously. But, like, there's some the pluses to that lack of density. And the people here are super friendly. There's a lot of problems here. Not going to lie. There's a lot of problems everywhere.
I actually thought everybody was quite friendly when I was there.
They are. They are. It's there's beautiful energy here.
And not in like a fake friendly way. No. Like in like a genuinely like people want you to have a nice day. Or they were either, I'll say this, it was either neutral.
Absolutely.
Very just like polite. Dude. And not, you know, like not annoyed by your presence, but also not like totally neutral about it.
Yeah. Very do your own thing kind of energy.
Sure. Or very kind, you know?
Totes.
And that's what was, whereas, you know, some people will say certain areas in the South have, you know, Southern hospitality and Southern kindness and all that. And I'm like, yeah, in like a setting where there's like a service being provided. Sure. But in a lot of other settings that like, Southern hospitality isn't actually there, like amongst just peers, like amongst people just, you know, like, for example.
Wait till you experience Southern bigotry. You'll have a different feeling about Southern hospitality.
But, like, but I'm trying to say, like, you know, going to a restaurant, you know, you get amazing treatment and
absolutely
get called sweet names and all that.
Absolutely.
But then going to a Walmart, you know, somebody like spits on you for wearing a mask, you know? Uh-huh. So like there's
exactly,
you know, there's also,
we're generalizing, of course, there are plenty of lovely people in the South, I'm sure.
But my point is that in New Mexico, people just felt genuinely kind.
There is a very live and let live energy here. And I will say, you know, and again, it is my critique of all the LGBT lists that New Mexico makes, because there's not a lot of LGBT-centered activities. Yes, there's a couple of gay bars, but in a city of almost a million, there should be more than a couple, and it should be different, you know? And, like, you know, I hear Las Cruces is very queer-friendly. So, I mean, there's not a lot of cities here to begin with, but just being, like, okay and live and let live is not necessarily, like, queer destination like energy. But I think it could be, you know what I mean? Like, it could have that. And people out here, look, it's a lot of open space. There's, you know, people are just trying to survive. It's got a beautiful energy in that sense. You know, the sky goes on forever. I'm still pitching here. But hey, just to wrap up our natural disaster, be very careful when you go to the place that you were talking about before, because this is supposed to, like, is being predicted to be the worst hurricane season on record, because the water, the ocean water, is like at an insanely high temperature, apparently. So be very careful monitoring your weather forecast this year, because I mean, I don't, when does hurricane season start, like July or something?
Yeah, I'm probably not
go early
after, yeah, I have a trip with family
in like May or something, right?
Yeah. And then after that, I had points that I needed to use, so I was like, let's do that because they're gonna expire. So I used them for that, and I'm going to probably not be doing much else after that.
Yeah, I want us to go to Miami.
Ooh, Miami.
Because I haven't been in many years, and
I always just feel so ugly in Miami.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. I'm like, it's a good place to humble your ass real quick.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like Miami,
especially as a woman. I don't know. There's something about like.
Well, we're gonna be in South Beach, girl. So, you know, I'm the one that's gonna have to be super self-conscious there. Like,
nah, South Beach has the most beautiful women in the world. I swear.
That's true. Well,
no, I mean, listen. Yeah, just because I'm ugly does not mean I can't go where people are pretty. Ugly.
Shut the fuck up.
But
so, like, speaking of body,
it does humble me.
So let's talk like body dysmorphia. I really wanted to gnaw on that a little bit when we were talking about it earlier, because I woke up today very frustrated, because since I got this hernia, an umbilical hernia, as I call it. My belly button is disappearing is basically the story here. I love it. When I went in there, he asked me, the doctor, did you try to push it back in? I'm like, ew, never, die. Never. Which I guess was a good thing. He said,
this convo.
No, but like, I'm saying it for a reason. Cause like, I immediately got very nervous about gymming, you know? And like, you know, I'm not like a gym bunny, but I'm 46.
It was like gymming. Is that another way of saying jerking off? You meant going to the gym. That's not where my brain went. That's hilarious.
You're fucking disgusting, and I love you. I looked in the mirror. I tried to put on one shirt, and I'm going to call them chicharrones now, because all I can see is like those pork fat things. My chicharrones were like preventing the shirt from coming all the way down over my, I'm not an apple, I'm a pear kind of dude, right? So when I gain weight, it's like, woo, you know? So my sides come out, and like, you know, people will say, oh my God, you know, you definitely don't look like you put on weight. But there's a reality that happens when you're 6'5" and you can hide weight everywhere. And like, if I wore a loose fitting shirt, you know, it would cover the situation. You know, my shoulders are broad enough, I wouldn't look like too stupid. But so the body dysmorphia thing, right? So like, you know, and this has been a topic in Queer Men, and I'm not going to like talk about it ad nauseum, but like I've had partners that value that like twinkish, thin, bullshit kind of body type. And like, and I'll be honest, there's a lot of them. And I suggest you evaluate the roots of that, because wanting everybody to look like a skinny little boy is kind of gross. So thankfully, maybe this is why I went Latin. They don't like that so much, you know? So, you know, and like, I'm happy to like have more weight on my body. You know, I was very gym conscious to a point where like, you know, I did so much cardio. I had like no body fat on my body. And like, you know, it felt good to be doing that. And, you know, I am struggling right now, because like, I'm way over the 200-pound mark again in my life. And I haven't been that in, you know, over a decade. And it feels weird, you know, like back pain, all this shit, right? So, but like, it makes you feel, and I hate this, because I certainly don't have a partner that's like, you need to lose weight. It's like, look at that ass. Holy shit. I'm like, thank you. Yes, and my ass gets very big when I put on weight. So I got big white boy booty. No fucking doubt about it. Call me. But the reality is being 46 and having this much weight it's an energy drain. It's, you know, the back pain starts happening, you know, it makes, you know, sex awkward. And like, you know, you don't feel super great, like sweating like a pig because you have wet, you know, like there's all these things to it, you know, so it's really tough. And like, you know, the culture is very much like pretty, be pretty. And like really now I just want to be healthy because I am 46. Like I'm on blood pressure medication, fuckers. Like that's fucking crazy to me, you know? And I'm glad it took, I know I had friends that went on blood pressure medication in their 30s. And like, let's face it, we live in a world where like food is like incredibly crappy, you know, and you really have to be super conscious to get things that are healthy, that like don't even like passively put on weight and passively like have too much sodium in them, all the things that are like not good for our system. So I'm like trying to be like make excuses, accepting of like being on blood pressure medication, you know, and I expect, you know, that like when I'm able to go back to the gym, because, you know, I quit energy drinks, which I highly recommend to not be in your 40s and on energy drinks, folks. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, those are bad for you.
My blood pressure is through the roof. And as somebody who is active and incredibly energetic, and, like, I don't eat that horribly. I really don't. It's them. it's the constant influx, and like just because they put diet on it, you know, fine, but what about like constantly elevating like your heart rate, you know? It's you know, it's something to be conscious of, because again, we're a sex podcast and pleasure, and I'm telling you tips to keep yourself vital. I will tell you this, as soon as I went on the blood pressure medication, like my hard-ons are happening all the fucking time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm a horny person psychologically. I don't know how else to say that. Because, like, look, I don't struggle with sex shame on any, like, significant level in my life by now, because I've spent years trying to combat it. But I didn't realize, like, the physical implications of, like, high blood pressure. And, like, I know that, like, you know, as much as I am sexually active on a frequent basis, I didn't realize how much more potential to be more frequently sexually active I had in my body. So when like people say like these things wane as you get older, maybe like you just need to go to the doctor and check some shit out, you know, because like, you know, our biology has an effect on our sexuality through its
physical. 47?
46. 46.
Oh my God. I thought you said you were 47. And I just spent the last 5 minutes in my head going, that means I'm 37. I'm already 37. No, when did I turn 37? I literally just did that. I just needed to explain that to you.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
No, not yet. But, you know, I want to have like a huge, like 50 bash. Like,
fuck yeah. But yeah, what you're saying is important. Listen, yeah, health is directly connected to even just libido in general, you know?
Yeah. And for sure.
I think, and there's plenty of things that can also obviously get in the way of those, you know, medicines and whatnot. But as far as having a sexually, you know, being sexually, you know, I guess active or even just interested, there's definitely a connection to, if you're not asexual, of course, there's definitely a connection to health and wellness overall, mental health, physical health. So absolutely, just keep that in mind. It's a positive to be healthy, and this has nothing to do with really weight or body in general when
no,
I'm saying this, because we all know that weight has nothing to do with health, but
true,
the goal should always be health and wellness. And
well, I've said many times,
the healthier you are, the
and I've said many times on this,
it all back to sex, that's all.
No, absolutely. And like, this is real. So I've said many times on this podcast, know your numbers, right? Not how many numbers you slept with, but know your numbers. Get a metabolic panel done, you know, get the stuff that tells you what's going on inside your body, because you can be all sorts of shapes and sizes and have nothing wrong with your cholesterol and your blood pressure and all of these things. But like, you need to get these things checked, you know, eventually get your calcium levels, your potassium levels. All of these things affect us physically, especially as we sparkle into elderness. You know, because like, here's the thing, you know, I'm saying this for that very specific reason. I've met a lot of men over the years who, you know, have just been like, it's like the chicken or egg. I'm depressed and therefore I'm not sexual, or I'm not feeling sexual and therefore I'm depressed. You know, but like they have a desire to want to be sexual, right? And in my head, you're fine up top. So that's a physical thing. So you should figure that out, you know? And it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's like I took a Viagra. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I'm going to keep taking this. Like my number is like, so my bottom number is normal now. So it was pretty high. So my top number is like trending down. I get them confused which one is diastolic and whatever. But my heart rate has always been amazing because I'm a chill dude. It's always like 67 beats per minute.
I always expect my blood pressure to be awful because I'm so anxious.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
It's like the one thing that isn't high or isn't bad for me, I guess.
Yeah. So like, go to the doctor regularly, folks, especially for those of you over 35. Like, just, you can get away with a lot of, like, grin and bear it to a certain age. And then, I hate to break it to you, our bodies do wear down. It happens.
All right, enough depression.
You're like, I don't want to figure out. Hey, I've been meaning to tell you, your teeth look really nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I whitened them.
They're super, like, you know, you're not quite at Nene Leakes yet, but like they're almost there. Cause I love her teeth. That woman has like some white ass.
I mean, they're falling out and rotting out, but at least they're white, you know.
Amen. Amen. This, we're calling this our disaster podcast. Oh, disaster of health. Disaster of weather.
But I have all of my tooth appointments scheduled and I'm doing it.
That's beautiful.
And I have my yearly scheduled. Look at that. And then I'm gonna have him give me all my referrals. Boom.
And that's in May, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to just like I like got back on to like my I'm gonna take care of myself.
Fuck yeah.
In like 2022.
Yeah.
And then 2023 was a fucking shit show and I did absolutely nothing for myself.
Yeah, I hear you.
And this year I'm like, it's even more of a shit show, but I cannot let it go any longer. Like I need to take care of myself. So
you're going to see Dr. C, right?
Yeah.
I love it. So Dr. C is my former doctor, and I love that you see him because he's super punk alt, right? Have you ever had a doctor that looks like that in your life?
No. Yeah.
He's covered in piercings and tattoos and plugs and the whole nine yards.
I like, my favorite thing about him was that when I said I was a sex worker, he said he started to ask about in-person sex work and didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, no.
Like, did not skip a beat. He was like, no. Oh, okay, great. So how do you protect yourself during in-person sessions? You know, like,
yeah.
Did not even, and I was like, oh, no, I don't do in-person work. I'm doing strictly online work. And then his next reply was, and that's your full-time job? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, wow, that's great that you're successful on that level. And I was just like, what? I love you. You want to hang out? You know, like, literally. I was like, this is the best probably fucking doctor experience I've ever had. Like, it's that's very awesome. Rare to find a doctor that's progressive enough to even like understand what sex workers deal with. Never mind not judging, never mind asking like really intentional follow-up questions, and then to be like proud of one for being successful with their online work, like,
that's beautiful.
I could kiss you.
I would love to have him on at some point. I've had like a many like year, like, so he, when I first moved to New York, he was also my doctor at this queer practice that doesn't exist anymore. And you know, the first time he walked in, I thought he was like, I was like, you look like those guys from the fisting porn at Treasure Island Media. And he just started like laughing. I was like, I don't know if I could like even keep myself composed. Like, you know, it was kind of incredible. You know, and that's this is like, what, probably like 14 years ago or whatever. But like, I would like to have him on this podcast at some point because, you know, we don't. Healthcare is in such disarray, and like when you're getting to like trying to convey and like get people on board with like positive sexuality and like affirming like sexuality care, if you will, like do you got your PrEP, are you getting your STI screens, like it's great to go somewhere where the people are like fucking cool. Like that there's not even an ounce of shaming going on or judgment, you know. Yeah. Like sometimes it's in our heads, you know. I'll agree that people go and like sometimes whatever they hear isn't there necessarily. We go in with our things, but a lot of times it is.
Yeah, doctors are pretty judgy, especially if you walk in overweight or if you walk in which I hate even that word. Like, what's a better word? I don't know what to say. But if you walk in, you know, bigger than what your stupid BMI chart says, which is fucking stupid. And oftentimes if you walk in poor, I don't know, like there's a lot of judgment.
There's a whole list.
You know,
and nobody does the new
promiscuous. You may as well just turn around and walk out, you know? Like I've had doctors... Remember that one doctor I went to for strep throat? He asked how many sexual partners I had in the last 3 months, and I answered him honestly, and he was like, and are you proud of that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was in Bushwick. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I've heard everything over the years, including my own experiences, like, in Worcester, like, getting, you know, going in for, like, the clap or whatever, and, like... Mm. Having like this conversation with like whatever internist was in the emergency room was just like very stern conversation about like safe sex practices to not put myself in this situation again. I was like, and you know, I'm a bitch when it comes to these things because I don't have
this. What were you wearing when you got it?
Right. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, it was just like, that is not cool. I'm reporting you to the hospital administration. Like, this is not how you conduct healthcare that encourages people to go get checked out or visit doctor's offices or other things we know people need to be healthy, right? How are you helping STI incidents by shaming people for going in and getting treated for STIs? Like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, and what I love is, you know, there are these new beautiful trends in healthcare, and hopefully they become more than trends and they actually become practices of like affirming care, meaning a person comes in and you work on all the things first and foremost that they're doing right with their health, and that these are things you build on. You don't say, you need stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this. You start with like, okay, you have this great ability to do this. Let's see how we can incorporate doing these things, you know? Right. So these are also things that are power things in your corner too. That is what we need to do. You know?
It's so gross. I'm like pretty disgusted by the healthcare system in general. I always have been, but like,
yeah,
we are too far along on the calendar for us to be judging people for absolutely anything. You are there to provide a service to people to help get them healthier. Judging people we know is never effective. Judging people and like condemning people and shaming people has never been an effective method. And you as healthcare practitioners should know this. So therefore, why are we doing it? We know that screaming at a little kid is not as effective as talking the rational piece of it through.
Yeah.
It is way more effective to make sure that your kid understands something Absolutely. By breaking it down for them.
Absolutely.
Same exact fucking thought process. We don't shame people. We don't scream at people. We don't make them feel stupid or less yeah. than, or like they're a lost fucking cause if they can't possibly do this thing. You know,
it's Absolutely.
Like, Absolutely. You don't just throw away a patient because, for example, they have an addiction to cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they have something that could potentially cause health problems down the line.
Absolutely.
That they are partaking in. But it doesn't mean that shaming them is going to get, like, we have plenty of commercials that do that. And how effective are those? Like, yeah. It's not a thing. You have to talk to them. You have to talk to everybody with kindness and compassion and empathy and understanding that they're just a fucking human trying to get through this awful, disgusting capitalist society that's literally shitting on us hand and foot, you know?
Just for those of you who are wondering, the This Is Your Brain on Drugs campaign did nothing. We have the data. It did nothing. If anything, it was seen as comical by nearly everybody that saw it. It did not have the effect. The cancer, the lung commercials with like the people on oxygen or with the vocal box things also did nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
they still have them. That's still things.
Those health campaigns don't work. We have the data that says they don't work. People tune it out. It's over the top. It's not an effective, shaming people is not an effective way to get
shaming
them to
and traumatizing take care of them. People yeah. or scaring people Never. Or whatever they think that they're doing. No,
it does not work. It does not work at all. So
you need to give people honest solutions that include the resources that they can be provided to be helped. Absolutely. Addiction is serious. This is not something that you just, well, you know, stop doing heroin. Okay. All right. Throw out my needle right now. I'm done. Hey, look at that. Thanks, kid. Didn't think of that before. Like, fuck off. So, fuck off with that.
So, ouch. So we were very fortunate here to find another affirming, career-affirming care place. And what I love is my partner and I go into the doctor's office together, right? And, like, you know, when they do, like, the PrEP evaluation, it's a very, very, very thorough questionnaire. And, you know, and they're always, I think it's funny. It's funny when they're shyer than the patients are. And look, docs, you gotta get over that. Like, I understand if you're new and these questions are not questions you're used to asking out loud, but like, you gotta get over it. Like, because if you're awkward about it, you're not gonna get like honest answers from people. And like, that is the main goal of doing these kind of questionnaires and evaluations. So, you know, but like, it'd be like, so. Do you guys have other partners? It's like, yeah, sometimes. I mean, it's so funny because, like, you know, we sound like sluts on the questionnaires because, you know, we answer honestly, no, you know, we don't use protection with each other and, you know, very rarely with other people. Like, we got doxy prep these days, we got prep these days. I'm very uncomfortable by most condoms, not in an excuse way, but like on multiple levels. They hurt my skin. And so, you know, like you have it and then like, you know, they get to it. Because you're always in your head thinking, oh my God, they must think we're such bullshitters. Why are we even in a relationship? Like, this is societal stuff. Like, but sure. You do run it through your head depending upon, yeah, somehow how the practitioner is reacting to the answers you're giving. And, you know, because you answer something and you realize that the questions go down another route. And it's like, well, be like clear, like, look, we predominantly fuck each other's brains out all the time. But we are not opposed and have on occasion like veered off and like not veered off. That's the worst way to describe it. Not veered off because we have no veering category. It's just if it comes up and it's organic, we do it. Like nobody's out there, you know, and it's complicated because, you know, we need to get into this more because I'm seeing how much this thruple stuff is really starting to like show more incidents online and more throuple pride.
There's TV shows about it.
Right, yeah. But I'm like seeing, I don't know if it's a consequence of like TV show representation, but I'm seeing more IG accounts where throuples are putting their like lives out there a little bit more. And so I do think it's interesting. I mean, we talk about it, my partner and I. Like, I'm like, who knows? But like, it's not something I'm like aiming for. All relationships are complicated, from friendships to romantic relationships. I'm not sure how much time I'm ready to invest in like adding, you know, more interconnectedness, because, you know, you want to do it right, right? You don't, if you invite somebody into your life and into your like dynamics, they shouldn't be like an afterthought or like the new fad of like an add-on, like let's get a third. No, if it happens organically, and yeah, I've been in situations with partners where we've both found somebody very attractive that's flirted with both of us, and like, you know, they're, and it's a unicorn, let me tell you. That's not the dynamic that happens most of the time. Most of the time, a dynamic of competition, a dynamic of like protectionism, all these things are usually what these situations are marred by, you know, where
I think that's important. It's an important distinction. I feel like looking for a third, and I don't know, like, are you collecting partners? It feels strange. Like, and listen, that's not everybody's intent. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would explain it in a way that would make me understand better, sort of, you know, why it's even worded that way. But at the same time, it just feels, like you said, like the organic, like if you found a person that vibes with both of you and it just works, I feel like that definitely makes more sense in my head as far
as. We're always like telling single partner. People, like, isn't the advice always like, you know, single people who are like, oh, I want a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever so bad. We're like, you know, the advice is usually, you know, these things happen when you're not like looking That's for true. It, yeah, like work yeah. on work on yourself, feel yeah, good about
you don't
yourself.
Often find things when you're out looking yeah. for it.
When you're desperately kind of seeking Susan, you will never find her. You know, like that's. And I mean, and I think that's my only critique. If it's a true like romantic throuple situation, fine. Maybe you are looking for that dynamic in your relationship, in your own individual desires. Maybe you are looking, like, maybe you got a lot of energy and love to give, you know, or, you know, whatever your story. But I do, you know, I am curious. We actually have a friend from Worcester that is actively in one of those relationships right now. So I'm wondering if, like, he would at some point want to talk about it, because apparently it's going strong and, you know, and it's weird.
I've dated two people at once. We weren't in a throuple, but, like, you know, I have absolutely no judgment about those relationships. I think it's the way that some of them are presented or portrayed in the finding the person stage that is always like, that's what I'm talking about as far as like the head scratcher part. Because I've seen a few of those relationships represented in a weird way where it was like, weird isn't the right word, but in like a different way than other ones, where it felt like their third that they were bringing into this already established relationship was like a little pet.
Yeah.
Like a little trinket.
It's a little fetishy.
A little, like a little, this is our little toy that we're playing
right.
with for
like,
now.
You and, know, we went and, to India, yeah, and we got these rugs up, and we went downtown
we
and got this.
We might break up, or not break up. We might get rid of this little trinket we brought into the house sometime, but will last forever, us two. I don't know. And
I think it has the potential to be horribly exploitive.
Everybody's different. And every relationship like this is different. I question when things are not done, like you said, like organically. Sometimes I think, you know, why is there such a push for it? Why is there
if
you're in a happy relationship, it
I mean,
what's the urgency?
I think I will be like more on board for this when, like, you know, there's like, again, like we were just saying, it's like a couple could have been together for 10 years and then you bring, like, you know, I'm always about like balance of power and shit.
Yeah.
You immediately have a very unequal balance of power in the sense of like just two people knowing each other a lot longer. And like,
yeah.
I think that that's a kind of complication.
Yeah, like what, the playing field doesn't feel even.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It just doesn't feel.
It does not.
There's definitely a power dynamic there that's probably a better way of putting it. That when you're saying, it feels like they're going out and looking for a trinket.
No. And like, it's fair. And like, look, I think, you know, I have like a socio-political like idea of why I think this is happening more. And I do think that economics are somewhat attached, and like that's going to be a controversial, but you know, maybe we'll talk more about this next episode or something, because I do think it's worth examining these kind of trends and relationships and sexuality, because you know, I think a lot of things are worth exploring in a fun and like adventurous way, as long as we're keeping in mind things like exploitation and power, and like, you know, those dynamics can make something that could possibly be interesting, beautiful, or exciting all together or individually, any of those descriptions, can make it pretty heinous. And I've certainly seen the heinous version of those things. So maybe that'd be a good,
you
like,
always reword everything that I'm saying when I'm rambling and babbling in a high state of mind. You always are like, oh, this is what she meant, by the way.
Like, that's
for the summary that used big people words instead of whatever the nonsense I said.
That's how we play with each other here. We have our own flirt on this podcast.
I sound dumb and you clean.
No, fuck that. You bring up a really good point. And then
I sound dumb a lot, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not judging myself.
No, I sound dumb a lot too. Okay. Like we share that.
It's funny because like in my head I'm usually imagining I was literally imagining this. There's this show called, I think it's Couple to Thruple or something, on Netflix.
Yeah.
And there's this one couple that, like you said, like it was a fetishizing thing something where they were looking for like a toy, and it fucking felt weird.
Yeah.
And it gives the people that are genuinely interested in having a third person to enjoy, it gives them a bad name.
You know, I'm going to, and
all I think of.
Yeah. So. I have more, I'm going to watch an episode of that before we talk again. So I have like more to comment on it. Cause I'm just seeing like the socials on it more than the reality, because my guess is that money and affluence play a big role in this thruple conversation. So I would be curious, like, you know, and who gets punished by the trends of like the affluent more than anybody is people struggling in the world. So I think we should gnaw on it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an, you know, exploitive situation going on in some of it. But
absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Fucking thruples and earthquakes. You got to be a loose screw to listen to this podcast.
Thruples and earthquakes.
I feel it. You want to take us home, baby?
Ice cream flavor.
So what is your next show? Where can...
You can see me next in Rochester, New York for Wild Zero on April 21st.
Fuck
I will be managing Mike Skyros. And
Suck
a dick. And I love you all. Thanks for tuning into the Screw Podcast with Alicia Rose and A-Love. Ooh. See you next week.
Peace.
Bye.